Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 41, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
We're hearing today a lot of talk of secessionism, seceding from the Union, and going to one particular state and raising up a Christian state there. And we've never heard this since the Civil War, and obviously history keeps repeating itself, so what we're about to see now is a civil war because of this secessionist idea. Israel, as a type of the church, was in bondage to the Roman beast for rebellion against the Word. And Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child of the 3.5 years of the beginning of the tribulation, suffered for Barabbas. You know what Barabbas means? Barabbas, his name means son of the father. And if you was to look at that today, you would see the man-child and Christians today in the same respect. Mark 15:7 says, "And there was one called Barabbas." And Barabbas, as you know, was a Jewish patriot, much like many Christians call themselves patriots today. He was a Jewish patriot. He was lying bound with them that had made insurrection or revolution. Men who in the insurrection had committed murder. Notice that what God calls killing Romans in that day was murder. The Romans had invaded their land, had taken over their land, and had brought them into bondage. And yet God calls it in the Bible murder when the patriots killed Romans. Is it any different in our day when the Christians, patriots, rise up and begin to kill people in this land? Because it will happen. It will happen soon, just as we saw recently the parable that I shared in Ezekiel 17. In John 18:40, it says, they cried out therefore again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Jesus as the man-child, suffered for Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Obviously, stealing from the Romans is also robbing, you know. And right now we're seeing in this country, in fact, over the last several years, they've caught quite a few people stealing from the military. And obviously they were storing up weapons for a future battle. Paul, as a type, this is where all of this is going to come back on the true Christians. It's going to bring persecution on the true Christians. Because Paul, as a type of innocent Christians in our day, was falsely accused as a rebel and imprisoned. And he wasn't guilty of Barabbas' works or his followers. In Acts 21:38, "Art not thou the Egyptian?" Again, we saw the other day that trusting in the arm of the flesh to fight with Babylon was going back to Egypt. And Paul here, as an innocent Christian, is being accused of being an Egyptian, which he was not. "Art not thou then the Egyptian who before these days stirred up a sedition and led out into the wilderness the 4,000 men of the assassins?" And remember Masada, because God did not defend those people. They were Jewish patriots, and God did not defend them. The Roman beast wiped them out. The reason was is that God gave them into the hand of Rome for a crucifixion and told them to submit, and they refused. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The eagle of Babylon had a civil war before they fell to the Medo-Persian bear, just as the eagle of the United States will before they fall to the Russian bear. History just repeats. You just have to identify the characters, that's all. Jeremiah 51:46, speaking of this civil war. And it says, speaking to God's people, it says, "Let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the report that shall be heard in the land. For the report shall come 1 year, and after that the report in another year. And violence shall be in the land, ruler against ruler." Obviously, this is a report of the civil war that Babylon had. We see today, you know, Republicans and Democrats becoming more and more increasingly polarized. And Christians generally, at least conservative Christians, generally call themselves Republicans. And I'm not saying that the war will be between Republicans and Democrats, but we can see it, this polarization taking place. And as a matter of fact, during the Bush-Gore vote fraud fiasco, ammunition sales went up in the United States by 900%. Obviously, somebody was getting ready to fight. And I read the transcript of a couple of radio talk shows, and Republicans on there were openly speaking about fighting. And, you know, a little bit of injustice like that makes people rise up unless they understand that we've been called to die here. We've been called to be crucified, and we're commanded to resist not the evil. We are commanded to resist the principalities and powers, wrestle with principalities and powers, but not flesh and blood. An angel said to Dimitri Dudeman, "It will start with the world calling for peace, peace. And then there will be an internal revolution in America, started by the communists." And the communists, as we've seen, their plans are to give misinformation across America to stir up people and cause them to be offended against the government and fight with the government. That was also stated in Unrestricted Warfare, the Chinese warfare manual. Some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I cannot remember, the Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn. They'll be calling for peace, peace, then there'll be a revolution. Why are they calling for peace, peace? Because of the wars that we're starting into right now, these Middle Eastern wars. And the world's going to call for peace, peace. Then they're going to create the dragon beast of Revelation 12, which is the seventh beast. And this war is going to bring them ultimately to Armageddon. Islamic and Christian terrorism will make the mark compulsory for security purposes. Remember we saw in Ezekiel 17 that it was actually some Christians who broke the covenant, not the beast. And the compulsory mark will be an effort to be able to identify any evildoers, anybody that breaks the law, anybody that does contrary to the government. The Jews rebelled against the Romans in 66 A.D. That's a significant number. And in 70 A.D., the harlot was destroyed. Well, that leaves 4 years in there, doesn't it? And we know that before, in the book of Revelation, before the apostate harlot of the New Testament is destroyed, it's 3.5 years before that the mark is made. And now we're seeing that even before the mark, these people are going to rebel against the government. The U.S. over the UN beast will make war with the saints for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And once you've realized who the beast really is, then it really opens our eyes to understand what's going to happen here. The Christians have an idea that America will defend them against the beast, but actually they're a part of the beast. And Kosovo was a good example. Serbia was a good example. They didn't defend the Christians in Kosovo and Serbia. They literally kicked the Christians out and gave their places to the Muslims. And those Muslims, by the way, in that area, most of those were forced conversions from years past when Muslims came in there and forced the Christians to convert to Islam. And they kicked the Christians out. I'm using the term loosely here, Christians loosely. They kicked the Christians out and gave their property to the Muslims. Sudan, they're not doing anything to defend millions of people who have been killed in Sudan. Millions of Christians, I understand we're using the term loosely, but America's done nothing but play politics with that. Millions of them have died. The U.S. falls after the tribulation as Jesus gathers his saints. Now, that's some interesting timelines here. Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land, again, he's talking about the Middle East, shall be a desolation. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then, of course, as I told you, that's 7 years. And when 70 years are accomplished, that is 7 years are accomplished, that is after the tribulation, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and I will make it desolate forever. For many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. Meaning, of course, it's time for sowing what's been reaped. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Notice it says, many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them. Meaning they are not used to this, right? They're not used to being on that end of the stick, so to speak. The same 70 years are mentioned in the word seven times. The 70 years of bondage, for instance, that Babylon kept the people of God under. The same 70 years is mentioned seven times in the Scriptures. There's a relationship between 70 and 7. In Matthew 18:21, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Now think about Peter. Who was he talking about as his brother here? Who were the people that were really offending the Christians in that day? It was their Jewish brethren. They were offending them, sinning against them, persecuting them, so on and so forth. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times and seven. Now, here's something interesting. Some translations say 70 times seven, but there's no numeric pattern in 70 times seven. The numeric pattern proves there has to be that and in there, or the whole pattern breaks down in this text. It is 70 times and seven. God is definitely talking about two times of forgiveness. I say not unto thee seven times, but unto 70 times and seven. And then he talks about judgment after that. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. Now, when God reckons with his servants, we know that several things happen. The rapture and the resurrection happen for the righteous, and destruction happens for the apostates. Okay? So now we see that after 70 years, the Lord no longer forgave the Babylonish harlot of Israel, because in 70 AD, the Roman beast destroyed her, as the saints escaped, by the way, to the mountains. But in the book of Revelation, we see that after 7 years of tribulation, the U.S. harlot is destroyed as the saints are gathered. So now we see a relationship of 70 concerning Israel and Babylon, and concerning the United States and Christians, that's seven. It was 70 in the Old Testament, and now it's seven in the New. Okay, seven for the New Testament people of God, seven for America. That's the relationship that the Lord has shown me. And by the way, the Bible does say that except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years, or 7 years are accomplished for Babylon, that is the United States, I will visit you. God is saying He's going to come after the 7 years of tribulation. And He did come after the 70 years of bondage in Babylon too, as a type and a shadow. I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. What place was He talking about? He was talking about bringing His people back to Jerusalem, Why do I say New Jerusalem there in the text? Well, because the first Jerusalem had been destroyed by Babylon. Babylon had destroyed original Jerusalem. And now, when God visited them and turned them, set them free to go back to rebuild Jerusalem, this was, in a type, New Jerusalem. Now they were rebuilding New Jerusalem. Now you see the type and the shadow? And after 7 years of tribulation, the Lord's going to visit. He's going to bring His people to build the New Jerusalem. Because what is the New Jerusalem? It is His people. That's what the Bible says, right? And He goes on to say, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations." Now people say, well, that's just the Jews. No, it's the Christians. Because we are a worldwide body of New Testament spiritual Israel. And we are scattered throughout all the nations. And God's going to have the ingathering again after 7 years. He's going to have the ingathering of His people from all the nations, whether they be Jew, whether they be Gentiles, as long as they're born again, right? "And from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place," that's Jerusalem, "whence I caused you to be carried away." Now, how does this work for the church? How is it that the church was taken captive from their Jerusalem and taken to bondage in Babylon, and they're going to go back to their new Jerusalem? Well, look, in, I believe it's Hebrews 12 and 19, Paul said, "You haven't come to a mountain that might be touched." He was saying that this mountain that we're talking about in the New Testament is not a physical mountain, it's a spiritual mountain. See, we are spiritual Jews. We do have a spiritual kingdom, and we have a spiritual Mount Zion, and we even have our King David, don't we? And that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that, you know. So everything for us is spiritual, but for them it was literal, because they were the type and the shadow, okay? So Paul says in Hebrews 12 and 22, "But you are come." Notice this. He was talking to the church in his day. He was talking to a church that was truly ecclesia, that is, called out ones in his day. They were called out of apostate Judaism, and they came out. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had signs and wonders, and they were so holy that if people tried to join themselves to them like Ananias and Sapphira, God would smite them dead. And we're coming back to that point too, by the way. And Paul says, "You are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." He wasn't saying they'd come to physical Jerusalem, because Paul had already said that that Jerusalem was in bondage with her children, and that they were sons of the handmaid and not sons of the free woman. But we're sons of the heavenly Jerusalem, and we're called sons of the free woman in Galatians chapter 4. So he said to the early church that you've come to the city of God. You've come to this heavenly Jerusalem, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Those early saints were powerful in the Lord. The church has not arrived there yet, but it's going in that direction. Here's the point. Paul said in those days that there was coming a great falling away. So what happened to the church? They were taken captive to what we call Babylon, which is a spiritual parable of apostate religion also, not just America, but apostate religion. They were all taken captive to apostate religion. Scattered. He said the wolves would come in and scatter the flock, you know, carrying away people after their own ways, you know. And that happened. The sectarianism, the denominationalism, it started in his day, and those people were carried away captive to Babylon. And now in these days, you know what God's doing? He's bringing His people back to the city of God. The city of God, by the way, represented people who were close to God, because the temple of God was in the city of God. And the leadership over God's people abided in this Jerusalem too, the real true leadership. Remember, the northern 10 tribes rebelled and went to the north and took away a lot of Israel captive, where they worshiped the image of the beast. Remember that? The golden calf. 10 tribes out of 12 tribes worship the image of the beast. Think about that as a type and a shadow. There is a great falling away coming. And you can see it out there. People are worshiping a god that's not the God of the Bible, not the Jesus of the Bible. Paul called him another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. You can see it in those churches. And God's going to give opportunity to repent because He's going to pour out the Holy Spirit in these days, the latter rain, and He's going to restore the true doctrine, and the Pharisees are going to fight just like they did in Jesus' day against it, right? Tyre is also a type of the United States and reveals the destruction of the United States and the coming of the Lord, exactly like Babylon did. Many of the things that were spoken about Tyre were also spoken about Babylon, even that same 70 years we're talking about. Okay, Isaiah 23:1, the burden of Tyre, it is laid waste. The daughter of Sidon. Now, Tyre was the daughter of Sidon, which was situated north and east of Tyre. The U.S. is the daughter of Britain, which is situated north and east of the United States. Sidon was the center of the Phoenician Empire, which was superseded by Tyre. And Britain was the center of the British Empire, which was superseded by the United States. You see the parallels here? And Tyre, as a type of the United States, was inhabited by Christians, but was later conquered by Muslims. Ah, now that's a prophecy for the United States too. Tyre as a type of the United States was considered to be an impregnable naval power in the heart of the sea, just like the United States. And Tyre, as a type of the United States, fell by a mass of warships. Yeah, Alexander's 120 warships conquered her. Also, do you remember the brother that had the dream about the warships? What was his name? Who had the dream about all the warships attacking America? Henry Gruber, yes, right. And that's a good parallel right there. Satan is called king of only two empires in the world. There's a really good reason for this. He was called the king of Tyre, and he was called the king of Babylon. And both represent the United States. Tyre and Babylon represent the United States. Okay. In Isaiah 14:4, it says, "Take up this parable against the king of Babylon. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star?" That's the name of Lucifer. "Son of the morning. Thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Why is it that as the king of Babylon, he exalts his throne above the stars of God? Think about it. Because if he rules the head, he rules the body. You see, Babylon was the head of gold that ruled over the body of all the nations in the image of the beast. Now what the word is saying is Satan rules that head. He's the god of that head, you see. And as such, since the beast was created for the purpose of bringing God's people into submission and to crucifixion, then he's exalting his throne above the stars of God. And you know the stars of God here, we're not talking about angels, as some people say. The stars of God were Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed through faith, right? That's what the Bible says. Ezekiel 28:12 says the same thing about Tyre. "Take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Thou wast the anointed cherub that covereth." Again, Satan is pronounced to be the head of an empire. Tyre was the head of the Phoenician Empire. And Satan ruled the head, so he rules the body. Again, both of these are types of the United States ruling over the UN beast. Okay? So now you can see a very clear parallel between Tyre and Babylon and the United States. God compares the fall of Tyre to the fall of Babylon. Isaiah 23:1, "The burden of Tyre, it is laid waste. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, they made it a ruin." He compares the two in the chapter. The same 70-year warning, which we have seen is a type of the 7-year warning, after which the Lord comes, is given to Tyre as Babylon. The exact same warning. Verse 15, "And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. That's 7 years for America. According to the days of one king, after the end of 70 years, that is 7 years, it shall be unto Tyre as the song of a harlot." Again, Tyre is called the harlot, like Babylon is called the harlot, like America is called the harlot. "And it shall come to pass that after 70 years, or 7 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre." There it is again. After the 7 years, the Lord comes for both Babylon and Tyre. Isn't that interesting that God hid that in there? After 7 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall return to her hire, and shall play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Well, little Tyre never actually did that, you know. But think about as a parable for America. America truly is playing the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. They didn't know what the face of the earth was back then. Tyre's fall in the very next chapter. You understand? There were no chapter numbers. The words just went right on. Totally ignored chapter numbers. They were added in later. So the next chapter is actually talking about the same thing. Tyre's fall in the next chapter is quoted in the famous vision given to evangelist A.A. Allen. The voice of God quoted Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, as speaking of the destruction of the United States. Now we see that clearly from his revelation that Tyre represents the United States. I remember this actually after the Lord showed it to me in the Bible, and then I remembered this and looked it up and thought, wow, that he actually quoted both Babylon and Tyre. Okay. In part, it said, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. He's talking about America here, folks. Broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. See, America was supposed to be the salt of the nations, you know, to represent God to the nations. But she has broken the covenant, and therefore the curse has devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So A.A. Allen quoted Tyre as being a type of the United States. Now, he didn't know that he was probably talking about Tyre there, but we can see that to be the fact. Confirmation. Jeremiah 25 and verse 12. When 70 years are accomplished, or 7 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. Then, from verses 15 through 25 in the same text, Babylon, as a type of the United States, first brings the cup of wrath to the nations. After which we are told in verse 26 that the king of Shishak, which is a name for Babylon, shall drink after them. When was it? After 7 years. The next verse is quoted by the Lord in A.A. Allen's famous vision describing the destruction of the United States. So now we've got A.A. Allen quoting for both Tyre and Babylon and saying that they are the United States. As the great cup of wrath was placed in the hand of the Statue of Liberty, I heard these words, thus saith the Lord of hosts, drink ye and be drunken and spew and fall no more because of the sword which I will send. And I was amazed to hear the Statue of Liberty speak out in reply, I will not drink.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.